app. I'll figure it out. I'm not worried, actually.
Done it twice.
Damon, just point this at the camera and clap it. Thank you. Perfect. There we go. All right.
Thank you.
AC's Thank on. You. We're nice and cool here.
Yep. A little cooler.
We got biscuits. We got Kara. We got Spencer in the studio. Welcome back to Dying to Talk, episode 17. Thank you, Kara. I forgot what episode we were on because we don't record these consistently enough for me to remember. My guest today, a good friend, a new friend to us at Dying Industry Films, somebody who I've had the privilege of sharing a theater space with, Damian Hughes. How are you, Damian?
I'm very well, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
Good.
I'm doing all right. It's been very busy. It's been very hard to schedule episodes and just trying to work on myself a lot lately. Got this new book on spirituality that Hampton put me on to.
Oh, which book?
The Untethered Soul.
Ooh, that's very Hampton.
It is.
Isn't it?
It is. Sometimes I'll text him and be like, yo, this is so insightful. And then there's some other chapters I'm like, yo, he literally said this at class before. He's a liar. He's
quoting a book. I met his wife.
You did?
Amber, she's cool as fuck.
I haven't met her yet.
Oh, I didn't believe she existed.
Yeah, right.
I was like, oh my God, she's great. She's beautiful. She's the best actor in the world. She's amazing. And I'm like, yeah. She's in Canada. She's in Canada, isn't she?
Oh, yeah. Well, Kara has a friend like that who swears she's engaged to a guy who we've never seen before. He's real, I think. He's not. yeah, man. So everything's good with you? Week's been going fine?
Things are better.
Yeah.
I've had a really rough month and a half. Family stuff back home in Scotland.
Gotcha.
Oh, fucking hell. It's like every time I got a text or a call, like my chest would just tighten kind of thing. And like, oh, what's going on here? It's a strange feeling.
Hey, that's called being an American because you just got your citizenship recently.
I did. Yeah, so I did. Yeah,
you're
yeah,
just,
yeah.
That's just classic Americanism right there. Born with anxiety.
The stress of just existence.
The stress of existing in America. Yeah, pretty much. But
I'm proud to be here just before. And they can't kick me out now.
They can't.
So I can just say fuck America if I want to. I won't, though. That was ironic.
That was ironic. Our viewership just tanked.
Yeah, no, totally, man.
It went from 5 to 4.
Well, fuck London.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. For those of you who don't know who Damian is, I'm going to give him the pleasure and the chance to introduce himself to you. So let's start with a very simple question, Damian. Where are you from?
I'm from Glasgow, Scotland, originally. I lived there until about 24, I believe, and then went down to London to be an actor. And mostly just worked in pubs.
Pubs? Bars. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Who am I? That's a big question.
It is.
Do you know what I mean? Like, who the fuck am I?
So you grew up in Scotland.
Aye.
What was your childhood like?
Oh, it was interesting. It was good. Mm-hmm. Your memories of your childhood are always kind of sunny. Do you know what I mean?
Sunny? Okay.
Yeah, even if it's a bit shit, it's a bit sunny. It's always like you're on the streets and the sun's shining and you got a popsicle or something, you know?
Yeah.
But it's good. I've got 3 brothers, a sister, all fucking nuts. And my mum and a dog called Edie.
A dog called Edie.
Which is short for excellent dog.
Excellent dog.
Because Teenage Mutant Hero Turtles was out when we first got her.
What is Teenage Mutant Hero Turtles?
So in the UK, ninjas were seen as like too violent, so they changed it to hero.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
I find it really surprising, even if I see it on the big movie, it's like Ninja Turtles, I'm like,
they're saying that.
Clutching my pearls, like, oh my goodness.
Hero Turtles.
Yeah.
But they're still Michelangelo, Donatello.
Yeah, all exact same. I think they just changed the beginning credits.
Yeah.
And perhaps the song, I presume.
Okay.
Hero in a half shell, turtle power.
What about the ninjas that they fight? Are they still...
They're all that. We just don't call them that, I think. You know?
Damn. Yeah. That's interesting.
The UK's a fucking weird place.
It sure is. Yeah. So when did you get into theater? When did you get into acting? When you were a child?
God, no. I had no idea about that kind of stuff. That's a story. I studied television production.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, no. First, I went to University of Glasgow. Really good university. Mm-hmm. I dropped out after about 5 months. I'm a university dropout.
Me too.
And it's great, isn't it? You know?
So is Kara.
Oh, wow, girl.
Yeah.
I took lots of drugs and had lots of sex for a while and loads of alcohol. And then I should try and do something different.
Yeah.
So I tried TV production. Did 3 years there and kind of enjoyed it. Then got out and was like, I don't give a fuck.
Mm-hmm.
I really just don't give a fuck kind of thing.
Gotcha.
So did more of the former. And then one day I thought, oh, you know what? I'll do an acting class. Like, if I want to be a director, I should learn how to work with actors. So I go into this one, a Strathclyde Uni night class, and I had to do it three times. Because each time, the last class, you're like, you're going to start up and do a monologue. Kind of thing, you know. And each time, I would do Dutch Courage. And I get fucking wasted.
Okay.
Both times. Kind of thing. Yeah. And I remember one time I woke up in my friend's apartment. And luckily the child wasn't there, but in her kid's cot. Like, I was blind drunk. Obviously terrified, do you know what I mean? Like, deep down, really, really scared. And last time, for whatever reason, I just did it, kind of thing. And it was The Doll's House by Ibsen. And I had a feeling in my chest where it just felt like right. Like, everything just settled. Mm-hmm. Became my brain finally connected with my heart all of a sudden for this weird moment. And I was like, oh, this, you know? Mm. And then it changed everything. Like, I mean, in many ways, it saved my life.
Yeah.
You know, before that, I was going in, woo, funny, not good directions.
Partying and drugs.
Yeah, lots and lots and lots of that kind of thing.
Is that common? So this was all still in Scotland? Yeah, not moved to. So was like, is drugs as big over in the UK as it is in America?
Yep.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Gotcha. Yep.
And I was drinking since I was 12. Do you know what I mean?
So, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's like common too, right?
Not so common.
What's the legal drinking age in Scotland?
It is 18.
Oh, okay. So, it's 21 in America.
Yeah, I find that fucking insane. 21.
I don't drink. I've like never touched it. Yeah. So,
it's great.
Yeah.
You're missing out.
I'm not. I know for a fact. I'm not. Although sometimes I'm like, when in acting class or like act drunk in this next take, I'm like, what? How the fuck do I do that? So I guess my version of acting drunk is just being really, really tired.
Oh, yeah? Well, interesting.
I think.
I'll give you a hint how to do it.
Uh-huh.
Someone told me years ago, you know, you see people like, oh, I'm going to act drunk. No, because when you're drunk, you're trying not to be drunk.
Yeah.
And that's it. It's like trying to sort of like, you know, hold someone's eyes like that. It's kind of, yep.
Really get like too intense with like the most simple thing.
It's like, oh, I'm going to pick this up. And you're like, I'm going to pick it up. And no one's going to notice that I'm like, I'm going to miss it. Yeah. So everything's very detailed in that sense.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I love that. So where were we?
We were...
Oh, yeah, acting classes. I did
acting
that.
Acting classes, still in Scotland.
Yeah, still Glasgow. And then some stuff happened. And I think for a while I was like, I'm going to London. And I looked back and I was like, oh, I was escaping. And I went to London and had an awful first year. Because I didn't realize this. So I've got ADD and I'm bipolar too and other stuff. And I had no idea about any of this kind of shit. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I remember I just went down, you know, my bags, and I texted friends beforehand saying, hey, can I stay on your couch for like a week until I, you know, get my thing? And none of them let me do it when I got there.
You had friends out in London?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I thought
and
I did.
Totally. Damn, dude.
I thought I did.
Damn.
And that was a hard lesson.
And how old were you for context of this?
I'm 24, maybe.
Okay, yeah, so you're at my age that I'm at now.
Yeah, yeah. But I was a very naive 24, at least with people. I think I am still in some ways. I always just believe the best in people, you know?
That's not a terrible thing.
Not a terrible thing.
I wish, like, I know I have friends that are like that. Spencer definitely likes to believe the good in people, as is Kara. I am very much, any person I meet, I'm like, they're evil. How? I got to figure it out right now.
I like that. No, I mean, in that sense, you protect yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And the way I do it is very much like, I'm going to miss out on some amazingness of being a human by not giving them the benefit of the doubt. And over the years, I've had to kind of learn to find my middle ground where like I'll often take people under my wing. And someone recently, actually, who had a drop. And that was rough. And I'm not good at that kind of thing. That's kid. Fucking hell. Yeah, he's a number. And it felt good, finally, to do that. And going, oh, no, I need to look after myself and my family, more importantly.
Yeah.
And actually, you know what? You can look after yourself.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't know if you're what I need in my life. I'm being very, very diplomatic right here, right now. You're the space, and I'm in this direction, and I'm giving you lots of chances.
Yeah.
And at some point, you're just going to go, like, just fuck off now. Yep. Do you know what I mean?
Yep. I hear you. I hear you. Absolutely.
That's
my
journey.
Like we've all been there. Yeah. Everybody's been there in some capacity, whether it's, like, you know, relationship, business relationship, personal relationship, any sort of ship, any boat.
Yeah, any boat.
You know?
Like that.
So, so now we're in London at this point.
Yeah.
You're sleeping on nobody's couches.
No. My sister, bless her, Letty Hughes, who's actually in a band now called Brenda.
She's in a band called Brenda?
Yeah, yeah.
What kind of music?
Oh, it's punk? Great. It's like a kind of punk, riot girl, okay. Like electro kind of thing. It's okay. Fucking great. It had a song called Pigs recently. Nice. And it's brilliant. And she just wrote a song about like how much she hates many of the men she grew up with kind of thing, you know, who I know all of. And I'm like, yeah, they are pigs.
Gotcha.
Oh, it's a brilliant song. And she just took me in kind of thing. Thank fuck. And
this is your biological sister?
Aye, aye, aye.
Okay, okay.
And I was on the couch, and like some sort of tumor. Are you trying to get his attention there? No, okay.
No, I did think of a question I wanted to throw in. Just, I'm very curious, because I have three brothers and one sister.
Uh-huh,
so
uh-huh.
I'm very curious in the
cool.
When that comes up. I wanted to, I thought there was a pause,
okay.
But I...
Oh, okay. I'll do random pauses and look at you every now and then, right? So she took me in, I'd been on a couch, and like some sort of like fungus, I kind of grew in, and suddenly the flatmates moved out and I took their bed. And then I lived there for a few years and worked in pubs and did acting. And I went to this great school called East 15, mm-hmm. Where like this master's in acting is a 1 year course, and met some amazing people. And on the first days, my teachers are like, hey, so tell me about you, who you are. And I'm quite frank often. I'm like, hey, so this happened this age, and this happened this age. And she's like, oh, okay, so we're going to put you in therapy. Hmm. And that was great. And usually you get like six sessions. And then at the end of the year, it's like, I'm still doing this kind of thing. How fucked up do you think I am? Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
they hadn't said stop yet. And I'm like, well, I'm going to just go with
this
for
like
now.
It's like they're milking you at that point with therapy.
Oh, it's free for me, remember? It's free.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it's not like over there, over here.
Wait, even therapy is free?
And yeah.
That's fucking insane. Yeah.
It depends how you get
that.
It. Depends what you get. If you're NHS, there's a massive backlog of people because of the mental health fucking societal breakdown right now.
Yeah, I know in the UK, mental health crisis is always on the rise because it's always raining and your soccer teams are always losing. So that right there makes you want to blow your brains out. Yeah, I went to therapy as a kid and I hated it.
Oh, go on.
Yeah, I hated it.
What age were you?
My mom put me and my brother into it when my dad was sick, so I was in like fifth grade, and then when he died, it was like a little bit of grief counseling. But then like at this point in my life, I was like, all right, I want to kind of, I know this just sounds terrible, kind of want to suppress and forget that I just lost my father.
That makes complete sense.
I would like to go do something else now.
Yeah.
Therapist was like, no, we need to like explore this. I'm like, no, like we like really don't have to at all, because it's the middle of the summer. I want to go hang out with my friend. You know, yeah. I'm figuring out ways to cope with this. My mom was like, you should keep going. 2, 3, 4 years go by, and I'm like, yo, it's so pointless. I don't want to do this anymore.
You did three or four years of therapy.
It felt like it. It might have been a little bit shorter.
It's
I know
still
it was like
years of therapy then.
Fifth grade or sixth grade into like late middle school, maybe early high school. I think by high school I was done and out.
How old were you when your father passed?
My father passed away in 2000 and, oh man, either 2011 or 2012.
Oh, wow.
And I can't actually. Can we look that up? Can we, you can look that up. Just Google my dad's name and then find out. I think 2011. Sorry, Dad. You're not listening. You're dead. Anyway, so.
How old does that make you?
I was either 12 or, what, 2011? So I was 12.
Oof, rough age.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're conscious enough to deal with it. My dad died when I was 7.
Right.
You know, and that affected me. But you're young enough, you just kind of bounce for a while.
Yeah, kind of. It doesn't necessarily hit you like... I mean, you were a lot younger.
Yeah.
So, and if you don't mind me asking, how did your dad pass away?
Oh, a car crash.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Shit.
He was terrible. He worked in the Lockerbie case, actually. I think you call it Pan Am over here.
Yeah.
As a kind of go-between... between Scottish law, which is like based on like Roman law, it's really random, and American law, and that was his job. And then one day, oh god, I found this out very recently, actually. To get emotional, that kind of stuff. But oh well, fuck it,
what you're here for, dog.
He was not meant to come back that day, but thought he wanted to come back and see his kids and his
wife.
And there was a crash. I won't go into gory detail.
Yeah.
But I found out recently when my mum was over, I'd always thought we were asleep, and then the knock at the door, the police, and all the things happened. And she was like, no, you're awake. We were on the back room, and I watched him. You're asking about dad, kind of thing, where is he? And she had that sense right now, like, something's not right. And then the knock, and then she was like, staying here. She kind of knew, I think, deep down. This is the door. We all stay in there. I think fucking she found out, and then she had to come back.
Yeah.
And say, hey guys, take me to bed now, and put us to sleep. And we're asking, where's dad? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And she told me that over a lunch recently when she came over from Scotland, and I just like I couldn't move. Couldn't move. I'd never known that at all. And it's funny, we talk about identities these days, but I don't believe in identities, really. I believe in narratives and the stories we tell ourselves. And I think they really deep down define who we are. And my narrative of that time and that grief was kind of shattered all of a sudden, you know? And suddenly I could have like...
You mean like the narrative that you had always had?
That was my story.
Changed.
And, yeah, it changed. It was like, oh God, wow. Oh, fuck. And she had to just hold back the tears and smile. And and the thing is, like, and I've got two kids now with my husband. And James, oh, fucking hell, he's driving home from Baltimore to help his parents. And he got in a car crash. It's a fender bender, nothing. Yeah. He was on the fucking phone with me at the time, you know, on speakerphone. And so he goes, crash. And then the phone goes dead. And I'm like... fuck. And in that second I felt what she felt in the way, and it wasn't the grief for my husband, it was how do I tell the kids, how do I destroy their world, you know? And that's it. You're doing that to a kid, and to an extent you had this, I think, when a parent dies, whatever your relationship with them, that world that you had with them dies with them, and it is your obligation after that to rebuild a new world. And that's a big, big responsibility for a child or a tween or even a teenager or even anyone in your life, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm. Damn. That was like so beautifully said. And I mean, what was 7-year-old Damien's world post that, as opposed to, I mean, like, for me, I lost my father, I like dove deep into like the things I like to do to kind of just take me out of it.
I'm a fantasist.
Okay.
I don't do sports particularly. I don't never really had hobbies.
Okay.
You know, I think I like rocks for a while.
Like collecting rocks?
Yes.
Geology.
Yeah. Just the wee book things you get like in the Artis, you know, you don't know corner shops, whatever you call them here. I think I just tried things above, but I never could quite fit onto something and hyper focus on it. My brain's always been a bit more like, you know, wide thing or whatever. And I couldn't really find anything. I liked morbid for a while. I was quite morbid. I loved like...
Committing murder?
Not yet.
Jesus. What a drop of a hat.
Yeah, no, totally, man. Don't cross me.
All right. I'm not going to.
I love the macabre. I love that kind of stuff. I was obsessed with vampires for a while, like the Vampire Chronicles of Lestat kind of stuff. And like, I remember my gran reading the back of the book, and it says like a sensuous tale over centuries. And I was a big reader and a very sophisticated reader. I didn't really know what that word meant, and I could really read between the lines of this is super super queer. You know, the whole thing is gay as
vampires
fuck.
Vampires are super gay.
Oh my god! Yeah. At least in this modern like vampires like. The idea of them is beautiful and convoluted and ancient, and we use them as a, you know, as a totem, I suppose, of our fears, of modern fears, you know, which is why I fucking hate Twilight. oh God, I watched it once with a friend, and it was like some sort of weird soap opera, and I'm just like looking at it and watching it, and she's like smiling and with a grin, and I'm like, I don't know what the fuck is going on right now. What the fuck is happening? They're twinkling. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there's no one to mention they're going to fucking twinkle. And, it's fucking crazy bad. And everyone fucking loved it.
Everybody loved it.
They fucking loved it.
Everybody loved Twilight. Kara, did you like Twilight?
I never read it or watched it.
Good.
Oh, all right, good. Thank God.
The mind virus. Anyway. So we're talking about vampires, obsessed with them for a while, loved them. Ah, that was an interesting thing. So I really wanted to, and still have the inkling, I want to kind of not live forever. Mm-hmm. Very recurs. Well, I want to live indefinitely. I like that term, you know? I don't believe, you know, if someone said like, hey, you live for as long as you want, and when you want to go, you go. Do you know what I mean? You're fine. I'd be cool. I don't have to be stuck here in the cold death of the universe by myself. But at some point, when I'm a bit bored or a bit sad, and then I'm like, all right, I'm out, guys. And I thought, like, I personally, surprisingly, never really would do that. I don't know, like, there's always something going on. Like, bipolar 2, and I've, you know, done 2 suicide attempts kind of thing, and for a long, long time, it was a bit like, I don't think I want to live and all that kind of shit, and, you know, like, I needed proof of, like, well, am I allowed to exist? All that kind of crap. Even now, thinking back then, if I had a gun to my head, mm-hmm. I'd be fucking, nah, you're all right, hen. You're all right, hen. Yeah, it's funny that.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's funny, but life is conflict, isn't it, in that sense of who we are and what we say to ourselves and what we do with ourselves. And it's fascinating, that kind of thing.
And that's what kind of, I think we kind of figured out what would drew you into theater then and acting, because what better way to explore all these things, vampires, you know.
Oh, everything.
Depression.
Yeah.
Putting a gun to your head.
No, you have totally, man. It's
being just, gay. Theater.
Oh, yeah, totally, man. Theater is gay as fuck, you know?
Theater is super gay.
If you do it right.
If you do it right.
Yeah, that's what I see.
Yep. I remember when I joined, when I started doing theater, I was always, like, people called me gay, and I'm like, but there's a bunch of girls here.
Yeah.
Football is gayer, in a way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In a way, football is pretty
reason,
super
man.
Gay.
Yeah, yeah.
I've seen some things in the football locker room.
Grab him harder.
Yeah, no, like, literally. And then in theater, it's like none of that. Yeah, it's like, hey, do you want to come over to my house later?
But a lot of famous actors, same thing. Yeah. James Wood, I think, same thing.
Legendary.
He's like, yep, I'm, you know, what I'm going to do kind of thing. I'm of that age, hormones, and like all the hot girls are doing drama. Well, fucking maybe just jump into that, motherfucker.
Pretty much.
And he did. And now he's pregnant.
He's pregnant?
Sorry.
Oh, I believed you for like a hot second. What the fuck? Sorry. So let's go back to, so we're in London. We're acting. We're working in pubs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what other place than that?
Worked at other places.
Oh, yeah. I worked in like,
did you work in like a sex shop or
gay
sex dungeon?
A gay sauna first. Oh, I saw shit. I literally saw shit, actually.
We don't have to talk about that.
Yeah, no, it was intense. It was a bit of an intense time. And then I got headhunted to work at a sex shop along the road in Soho.
Okay.
One of the guys was there.
In
like,
Soho?
Soho.
Like America. Like,
oh, yeah, Soho.
There's a Soho in London.
We had it first.
Oh, there is a Soho in London. I didn't know that.
London, okay. Soho, kind of famously. Oh. Very big in the 60s, 70s, okay. Like sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
Yeah.
It's not that anymore. I got a headhunter, went there and learned all about lube and dildos. It was great.
Nice.
Met some lovely people. One time some guy says, oh, you're the nicest guy in Soho. And I thought it was very sweet.
You gotta be nice when you work at a sex shop.
Yeah, you really do.
You can't be like it. I feel like you have to give excellent customer service at a sex shop.
It's funny, actually. What I loved about that work there was how vulnerable it was. Like, I remember some guy coming to me and he had, like, a, you know, funny gay card kind of thing of, like, hey, love you, you're a cunt.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this must be a good friend. And he's like, ah, yeah, kind of thing. Like, I kind of wanted to be more than that. And I'm like, oh, we're going here. And we had this, like, really brief chat, and the shop's moving around us and people are buying their dildos. And I ended up having to, you know, hold his hand kind of thing, you know, like, and he'd be like, yeah, like, I love him, but I can never tell him that. And it was really emotional. I was like, oh, yeah, you go in these spaces sometimes. And if it's done right, and the people there who, like, protect the space and create the space do it right, then, like, magic happens, you know? Yeah. People just can just open up, you know? And I love that.
And whether if it's a theater or a sex shop.
Yeah. I mean, that's great in a theater, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? Like, you go in and you can be so fucking vulnerable if you choose to be. And it's really hard to do that. It's really hard, even in theater, even in acting.
Yeah.
You know, and I think the great thing, and I'm not a big fan of film and TV acting per se for me, more because I love the camaraderie that comes with theater. I love that. I love the fact that, to me, film and TV is you look through a box or a master's screen. You look through like a big square into another world.
Yeah.
You know, it's beautiful and magical. And what I love about theater is there's someone in a loincloth in front of you pretending to be a fairy. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you're just meant to believe it. You know, like, oh, I've got a phone in my hand. And like, It's like, no, you don't have a fucking phone in your hand, you crazy cunt. But for this moment, we're going to believe it. And it's a shared warping of reality, which I love. And I love the ambiguity of that. I love that we all decide to believe the same thing for one moment. We live in a world which does not have that at all anymore.
No. That's very well said, Damon. You are a fucking poet, dog. Seriously.
Yeah, thanks, man.
If any audiences are having trouble understanding his accent, we have a English translation in the settings.
Please do. Yeah, I've had that before, actually.
But,
yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. The camaraderie of theater definitely is something, like, I've been on both sides. Being a part of a film crew or being, like, in a film as cast, there's camaraderie, but it's, like, it feels just off. It feels like it is missing something. So something that, like, me, Spencer, Kara, Michael, Miles, like, our group, we always try to, like, keep that camaraderie going the whole time. Because that, to me, drew me to it the most, was theater. It wasn't, like, being up on stage and going, I'm the main character and I'm going to sing the song. It was, like, you're going backstage, all your favorite people in the world are right there, and then it's over. But it's okay because now this other thing, and then you can, like, branch off and, remember when we did this show together? Now we're doing this thing together. And you can just create this, like, you know, you can kind of create the world how you want it to be, in a sense, in those spaces. Film, sometimes, like, there's been some sets where I'm like, this feels close to that.
Yeah.
But then there's always that one person or that one thing or this thing. And it's weird because, like, theater never felt competitive to me.
Mm.
Maybe because I'm a straight male. And that's, like, my competition sitting on that couch right there.
Yeah.
But film feels extremely competitive, and it really shouldn't be, at all.
It doesn't have to be.
Even, like, crews that are all making the same movie, there's still, like, this weird competitiveness.
I wonder why that
hair is. Hair department beefing with this department. Wardrobe beefing. It's like, you guys are all doing the same fucking thing.
Yeah, isn't that funny?
Those two departments of the movie.
Because, like, those were just, like, some example. Like, I'm not, like, going to call anybody out or anything, but,
yes, you are.
Like, there was a movie that myself and two of my good friends worked on. We were we were the props department, and the whole art department is doing the same thing. We're all working on the same movie. It never felt like that, though.
Mm.
It never once felt like that, because there was all this, like, unnecessary, and, of course, like, theater, people are dramatic in theater and people are dramatic in film.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand.
When it's
a group project, whether it's stage or whether it's film, get off your fucking high horse. Put the horse in the shed. Look me in the eye like a man or a woman or a non-binary, whatever you identify as, and let's put this fucking thing together.
Yeah, that sounds about
right. You
know
what I mean? Theater, I've almost maybe like one or two actual like issues I've ever had. The film, every other job I've had, I'm like, what is wrong with
people,
bro?
That's a shame, man. What a missed opportunity.
I think because film feels like work for a lot of people. I mean,
yeah.
Most people obviously do it for the money. That's just a fact. And most actors I've met on film sets, if you ask them, they 9 times out of 10 prefer to do theater.
Yeah, it's more fun.
So I'm just doing this for the money.
Just more fun. Yeah, totally.
Think about how many Broadway actors we worked with that you like, oh my God, that's that person. I'm like, who the fuck is that? Then you get to talk to them. It's like, oh, this person's way cooler than that celebrity that's in their honey wagon on their fucking phone. Dicking off, making $10,000, and then complaining that their belt is too tight and they don't want to take it off.
This is very specific now, I think.
Fuck that guy. Who I don't remember his name. Yeah, bro. I like theater. The thing that scares me with theater is just like, oh shit, I'm in front of people. I got to do this thing. But that just comes back to like focusing and really hyper focusing in on what I'm supposed to be doing. Because what we've been doing recently with the Bonneville Grange, which is where I want to pivot to next, is amazing. I love it. I think it's great that me, Spencer, and you are like, we're just growing this thing so organically.
It's amazing. It's fucking amazing. The other day, I think I said to you guys, I was walking up the stairs with two other actors. We're a bit late, and we hear this babble of voices. And I remember just kind of going, my heart just like tingling slightly of like, oh, wow. It was actually really hard work on our part, you know?
Yeah, for sure. We had to send like 4 emails and meet twice.
Fucking time. But it's happening. It's happening. It's fucking happening. You know, like, oh, I mean, I love it.
Always a goal of yours to start a theater tradition? Like, were you trying to do that out in London, or were you just...
We know London, American... London has a theater.
So you were trying to become a part of one?
Yeah, I want community.
Okay.
And the older I get, the more I need it.
Gotcha.
I came to New York, and it was the middle of, like, fucking February.
When did you move
to
New York?
Freezing, 2019, beginning.
29. Oh, wow. Okay, so not that long ago.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And then my son had just been born, Solomon. And my husband's like, he's going to start a new job. He's out. I have no friends.
Oh, so you're already married before?
FYI, if you want to move to another country, like, don't go to that country, get married there. Stay in your own country, get married there.
Okay.
Because they just go like, oh, yeah, you're trying to do, you fly one on us, aren't you?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So we did it in London. We were told by like people who, friends of friends who did, what's it called, immigration law.
Yeah.
And said, do in your own fucking country.
Gotcha. Because
if you don't, that's like, they're going to keep an eye on you. That list it'll be longer. Mm-hmm. We had loads of help doing it. Like, I'm very, very lucky. Yeah. I've forgotten the question.
No, the question was like, actually didn't know the timeline of when you moved to America and when you got married. I thought you moved to America, then got married and had
kids. No, I met James in London. I'd just been dumped by my boyfriend who moved down there, Mac, bless his heart. And I was like, right, I'm going to fuck it out. It's been great fun. And then I met James like a few months after. Like,
there you go.
And then it's interesting how we met. But then we dated and I dumped him a few times.
Mm.
And then I went to acting school. Then I came back out and I dumped him again.
Wow.
And
what a bitch.
Yeah, I know. I told him I was a cunt. And then it was interesting. So we got on really, really well. But I had issues with intimacy and with a lot of stuff that I had not quite worked through yet, no matter how much therapy you do.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one time he's like asking me questions about my history. And I literally started vibrating, do you know what I mean? Out of fear. And I'm like, what's going on? I didn't fucking know there was anything wrong. Do you know what I mean? Obviously my body's held under shit and I'm like, ugh. Like someone I care about is like caring about me. And I mean, my journey in that sense, that part of my life was very much, it wasn't being loved. It was learning to be loved. Yeah.
Gotcha.
It was learning to be loved. Excuse me, I misspoke.
No, you're good.
Yeah, I learned to accept that. And I think a lot of people have that same thing. A lot of us do. It's really hard for someone to come and go like, I love you.
Yeah.
And really, and I mean it, you know? And you'll be like, you haven't seen the shitty swamp in my soul.
Exactly,
you know
what I mean?
And when you do, you're out of there and I'll know for sure.
Yeah.
It's just darkness, you know?
Yeah, saying that to somebody does kind of like, it's like unlocking the next level of like, yeah, now you get all this, but you get all the
evil stuff too. Are you ready for this shit?
You get all my evil things.
That's it.
Yeah.
You're never that evil, really.
No.
You know?
No, there's always somebody worse. There's always somebody worse. Even if you are a murderer, there's a worse murderer. There is not one. There is no such thing as universally like voted the one, maybe like Attila the Hun or like Vlad the Impaler, but they ain't considered murderers technically because they were like crusaders. Yeah, I don't fucking know.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. Like,
anyway,
it's always a fool's errand when we try and like, you're more privileged or you're worse than them. It's like, it's all each their own kind of thing. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. everyone's a bit shit and everyone's a bit great, you know?
Exactly. So back to the.
Compare Hitler to.
Oh, yeah. I guess.
Go for it.
I guess I forgot about him. Anyway, yeah. Moving on.
I dumped him again. And then my auntie Marie Claire passed away in Glasgow. She had a fucking hard life. A cunt husband kind of thing, who I'm pretty sure was a fascist during like Spanish times, whatever, like in the Spanish Civil War times. We went up to the funeral and it was lovely. And my cousin, Mario Ignacio, was there. He's the second out of four of them. And he's just on it, you know, like he's dignified, graceful with everyone. You know, people come up to cry and he holds their hand. It's wonderful to watch. You know, he's like a tent pole holding the entire thing up. And then we go to the graveyard, you know, Catholics and that kind of thing, you know, they're a lot. And me and my sister, just a slight segue, like we always laugh at funerals kind of thing.
Me too.
So I think at one point me and my sister are jumping over the grave and like giggling kind of thing. And our auntie's like, no, don't do that. We just get a bit,
trust me, that is not the word. Like, that's nothing, bro. I'm the same way. I laugh at funerals. I did this funny thing. My grandfather passed away. So my grandfather, my mother's father and my father are buried next to each other. So when we got to the grave, for the funeral, I was like, oh shit. And Kara was like, what? I was like, my dad's here. And she was like, what? Oh yeah. Cause he's just like he's just a stone right there.
Oh yeah, there you go.
I feel like if there's an afterlife and when I die, he's probably gonna have a lot that he'd like to say to me. And I'm like, hey man, you know, my bad.
As a father of mine, he will just tell you he loves you so much.
I don't know. I hope so. Anyway, let's not dive into my lore. Let's keep with Damien's lore.
No, yeah. So at the funeral, laughing, blah, blah, blah. And then he's on it, brilliant. And then it comes to the coffin being lowered.
Yeah.
And he breaks. And it's funny, we're all in this kind of like semicircle around him, weirdly. I don't know how that happened. And he just bursts. And it's something about seeing a man cry particularly. I think we're not in our society used to, which is a real shame. And as someone who's been in control of the whole thing, just bursting, and it made people uncomfortable, I could tell.
Yeah.
And through the crowd, his wife runs through, and she just puts her hand on his shoulder, and that's it. And in that moment, I saw what she was saying. She's just saying, I'm here for you.
Yeah.
And that was all, as simple as that, I'm here for you. And in that moment, I remember fucking thinking, shit, I had that, and I kept on giving it up. And within like a month kind of thing, like I was down like, hey. And he was very into me. So he took me in.
And
that was it. Like, I adore him very much. We decided to have two kids for some fucking reason.
Hopefully they're not listening to
this. One day they will be.
Yeah, facts.
God willing. I mean, God, there's so many times. So many times my life has been saved by other people, you know? And I think that they think literally today is like, oh wow, like I thought sometimes like, oh, my children, they've saved my life. And I'm thinking, no, they're saving my life every day. Like every day kind of thing. I look at them and go like, fucking wow. Wow, look at you.
Yeah.
They're just amazing and complex and like wonderful, and they're changing every day and every second, every moment. And I saw a picture of my son maybe like 2 years ago, and he's a wee chunk kind of thing, you know. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, where's he now?
Yeah.
You know? And he'll see my son, and like he just huddled himself into me sometimes. We just like sit there for like 5 minutes hugging, and he talks to me about Pokemon. And
not a fan, huh?
Oh man, he knows a lot about Pokemon. He likes to tell me all about Pokemon. Let's tell everyone else all about
Everybody
Pokemon.
Everybody that's into Pokemon needs, it's like they're like the Jehovah's Witnesses of anime. They need to recruit more people.
Knock, knock.
Yeah, literally.
Have you heard about Pokemon?
You can't. When I go to the skate park, and I'm going to out all my friends. Bro, all the homies of the skate park, Marco, Bobby, Darius, Isaiah, like all those heads, is just Pokemon, always on that damn phone catching. Like, yo, put that shit. They're not real monsters, you fucks.
It's been rediscovered as well recently because a lot of people have come of age, gone into their drawers, found them all, and gone, remember that? And there is kind of like, this terrifying infernal
so
engine.
It's a nonstop engine of like nostalgia and pretty colors and collectability. That's a big thing.
I kind of like it, you know. I remember when it first came out. I remember the red, I think, and the blue, and then the wee special yellow one every now and then.
Yeah.
I remember as we sort of Game Boy game, the wee gray brick.
Yep.
And I loved it. Oh, that game's great. And then he started doing all the stuff. I'm like, just keep it a game, you know?
Yeah.
And that's just me.
You got too carried away.
I'm a purist. What can I say?
Purist.
Where were we?
So you moved to America. You were still pursuing acting?
I did for the first year.
Any luck?
I got a couple of short films and rehearsed readings kind of thing. Okay. At the time, I was trying to do something like full American accent. And it was exhausting.
What, doing an American accent?
Oh, my God. Well, I just was doing training in it and just trying. Well, if I just do it, if I just keep on doing it. I knew someone in acting school who was very good at accents. And he fucking would do my accent every fucking day. Do you know what I mean? He's a cheeky cunt. Ben. Just say out loud, Ben. Yeah.
Ben.
He's all right. And then at the end of the year, we're doing like our kind of like end of year, like, oh no, you know, like what accents you've learned. I'm like, I haven't learned nothing. I'm bad at it. I'm scared of it. And he was fucking amazing at all the accents, and the Scottish accent particularly. In Glasgow, Scotland's really hard to do because it gets too close to Irish. It's like you lose it. It's a hard one. Hard ones.
I can't do an Irish accent. I could kind of do a Scottish accent. Yeah, yeah. I lost my Irish one.
Do a Scottish accent.
Nah.
Yeah.
I don't got to do it. My next door neighbor's Scottish.
Oh, yeah?
So
I'm sorry.
No, she's pleasant, Kathy. But I'll in person. She's, what are you making that face for? She always like asks me to do stuff. Like she'll get like a pop-up window on her phone or her computer, like, give us money or your account's gonna. So she always like knocks on my door and is like, Michael, I got a virus on my computer, can you take a look at it? And I'm like, yeah, I got you. And then all I gotta do is hit exit.
Yeah,
and I'm like, you're good.
Kind of thing. Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Oh no, you did this the other night.
Him do it the other day.
Yeah, it was awful. But I had to do it on stage. And at some point I used to worry about this stuff, and I was like, oh, who gives a fuck, I'm not American, everyone fucking knows I'm not American, like I'll just fucking do it. And actually it wasn't terrible, do you know what I mean? The line that I really helped with, it's the first line, What was it?
I'd like to use my credit card, please. Should we split the chat?
What was it? Oh, I can't do without laughing. What was it? Your Honor, this is a frivolous lawsuit. There you go. It wasn't terrible, was it?
It wasn't that terrible? Bad.
Oh, you just nodded your head, Kara. Is it that terrible?
No. Kara can't do accents.
She okay, can't. At least she's honest about it. But yeah, that was my American accent, and nice. It's now recorded.
Yep.
I'll never listen to this podcast now.
It's all right. We could edit it out if you really want to.
Just beep it.
So you were on, you were doing some plays out in
New York? Yeah, I know. So I went to Manhattan and, we're in Brooklyn. And, auditioned for stuff. I was doing good little classes. And then I actually, got some short films. And then I got kind of off Broadway kind of thing. I was like, fucking A, brilliant,
Nice.
And then the fucking pandemic happened. Literally, New York shut down the day before the first rehearsal. And I was like, oh, well, that didn't happen. And then, what's happening?
What are you doing?
What's happening?
Who's trying to take food out? Just do it.
There's some biscuits here.
So the pandemic
what? You don't want my biscuits?
Yeah, he brought McVitie's. Yeah, because great, it's melting on my couch.
Yeah,
thanks.
No. Well, you'll never forget me.
Yeah.
It's really tasty. Let's do that differently then.
Or eat it, melt on your phone's camera. That's
it's
better.
It's fine. I have kids. All
right.
Was it ASMR or something?
Yeah. He likes watching ASMR.
It makes me sick.
What are you into? What are you into, you sick fuck?
You want to know this now.
I mostly watch videos that aren't ASMR. They're
porn.
Someone, like Bob Ross.
He glossed right over that. Yeah, painting.
David, there's this guy who does woodblock, Japanese woodblock.
Oh.
That is so relaxing.
Oh, I like watching restoration videos.
Oh, cool.
That's another huge one.
But is that ASMR or just is that chill core?
It's unintentional ASMR.
Oh, I see.
I think so.
It's gonna be good. They get insight.
I like to watch videos of tortoises eating fruit. I think that's the funniest thing ever. So the pandemic happened.
We were lucky enough to have a friend who had a summer home in Michigan.
Oh.
And I met her once. Mm. And she knew James from the years back. We met her once in New York, and then she called up like, hey, the world's going to shit. Do you want to come with us? With my family, we have a lot of space.
Fucking sick.
And we're like, oh, I don't really know. And then, where are you guys? Were there? The sirens happened. And that was freaky.
What, in New York City?
Yeah. People still, I think we forget.
I was upstate when this
was
happening.
We're trying really hard as a society to forget all about it, really. It's really interesting. The sirens started first at nighttime. Or then, by the day a wee bit. There was just here and there kind of thing. And then I remember it was non-stop, and we're finding out about body bags and outside hospitals and that, and I was like, shit, this is weird. And James had a small breakdown, and then he told me about it. He's like, yeah, because he's Jewish, and we're brought up on stories of households just left empty because you have to leave in the middle of the night, and this is kind of bringing this kind of cultural traumas up for him. And we left that next day, and we were the only people on that Virgin flight to Michigan.
Nice.
Yeah, only people that were very nice to us.
That's how the whole plane.
Oh, yeah. We were very nice to them because we were like, you won't have a job.
Yeah. They're like, oh, can I get you anything? I'll get another bag of pretzels. We have to give more for the rest of the people on the plane.
What the fuck?
It's just me.
Yeah, so that's what happened. And we
that's
went.
Lit.
Just really quick. Really
oh, go on.
Quick, just to clarify.
Please.
When It was
the ambulance.
Ambulance. That's what I.
Constant.
I mean, in the city, they're always constantly going off.
Yep.
You were in the city too, right?
I was. Mm. There were literal refrigeration trucks parked by hospitals that they were just
putting bodies in. Where did you live in Manhattan?
We lived Prospect Heights.
Where did you live?
I was on 92nd.
So how close was that?
Is that in Manhattan or Brooklyn?
That's Manhattan.
I was in Brooklyn.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Prospect Heights.
Gotcha.
Yeah, we're beside Crown Heights.
Can I have another biscuit?
Of course you fucking can.
All right, so then you go to Michigan, you camp out there until the pandemic's over.
We did there. I had my panic attack there.
Okay. It is Michigan. Michigan fucking sucks.
You go ahead.
So, thank you.
And then, I had a great time. I got fucking fat there. Yeah. Oh, man. It was like every day, me and my lovely friend who had us there, we came quite close there. She was like, cocktail? I'm like, yeah, let's have a fucking cocktail. And we go out and we're just like in the grass and just drinking cocktail after cocktail. And I'd buy, because I'm stressed out, like entire boxes of Oreos, the mint ones, like the thick ones as well. And eat whole bags every day kind of thing. There's pictures of me. I'm like, who's that fat fuck? And that fat fuck is me. And I do not hold weight well, it turns out. Mm-hmm. I do not look good with extra pounds. We had a great time there. The second day or third day, I had a panic attack where in the middle of the night, I'm lying there and James, the fucker, is asleep and snoring. And my brain just starts going weird. And I'm like, and the guy, her husband works in the government.
Oh.
And he's not there. But in my head, I'm like, well, I've never met this guy. Uh-huh. You know, like maybe he's a fucking mercenary or something. Or maybe he's like fucking this like James Bond character. And maybe outside right now in these weird woods, it's kind of fir woods, there's like guys of like laser sights going through quietly right now. Maybe that's happening right now. And maybe they're right outside right now. And maybe they're going to our small house because, well, they don't know which house they're in.
Yeah.
And maybe they'll come up the stairs right now kind of thing. And they're outside the door right now. And my heart is like fast, so fast. And outside the window, there's like a fucking tree. It's a fucking tree. And I'm looking at it and going like, that's a man. There's a 20-foot man outside the fucking window. And I jump up and go, Chris is like, fuck. And James like, what's going on? I'm like, there's someone outside and there's someone in the attic and there's like FBI outside. And he's like, shut the fuck up. And he starts making me do like star jumps.
Uh-huh.
So like, I'm crying and doing star jumps kind of thing.
Jumping jacks, in my
tighty whiteys as well.
Jumping jacks for you Americans.
Oh,
out
thank
there.
You. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then push-ups. Oh, okay.
There's push-ups.
Push-ups kind of thing to kind of ground myself. And then I remember that we had kids next door and then I had another panic attack again.
Yeah.
Because like, oh, the children. What about the children? And yeah.
Damn, so you were like the cry, like freak out, like
oh,
character.
Yeah. And there's two different people in the world. There's people who panic in the moment, people who panic later.
Yeah.
My husband panics in the moment and I panic later.
I panic behind closed doors like a fucking man.
Yeah.
So we're in Newburgh. What are your goals and aspirations? I know you're trying to get some theater traditions.
Yeah.
Popping up here.
So it's funny, when I came here, I was a bit like, well, what the fuck do I do? And I felt very much like, let's not be one of those cunts who just like, I'm going to fucking do this. You know, like, I'm going to make this place amazing. And I thought, what? You know, should maybe like listen first kind of thing and ask, get to know people first. That was hard. That was quite hard, actually, because I didn't know anyone. And like, where did you fucking start? And then I met some lovely people over time. And then it was just getting out there, the community. And it's to anyone who moves to a new place, it's like, it's not going to come to you, the community.
No.
You have to get out there and do it and be the weirdo and be the kind of like, oh, hi, guys, it's me.
Yeah.
Which I do very naturally. And so doing that. And then over time, I mean, when I met you guys was around the time. It started kind of the knee of the curve, as it were. And I just meet people who had a similar... ilk, desire, I'm not sure the word for it. Dreams? I don't know. And I'm people let me sit and drink and have a chat. You wouldn't drink, you'd sip your water. Like a pussy.
Sometimes I get a Shirley Temple.
Huh?
Sometimes I'll get a Shirley Temple.
You classy cunt.
Yeah.
Oh god, I hope you'd have to beep this because I swear a lot.
No, we curse.
Oh good, yeah.
I've been cursing all this whole time.
I didn't notice.
Yeah. and yet some people do and have a problem with it, so... go tuck yourself in. See, I didn't curse.
Oh wow, well done. So we met there, like, and we met Hampton's class kind of thing, and he's fucking brilliant. And there's some lovely people there. And then I'd had thoughts and that kind of stuff, and I spent my life getting in my way, you know.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I want to do this, best you want to do it, and then crushing myself or sabotaging myself mostly. And in the last year or so, I turned 40 last year, it felt like closing doors, you know, weirdly. And I don't believe in the whole kind of number shit. It's like you have 5, 10, you know, fingers, and you count that way. And so 0 special. No, it's fucking not. It's a 40, do you know what I mean? But weirdly, it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt the need to close doors on old ways and old habits and old desires. And I started doing that. And then I did this you know, I met you guys already, and then earlier this year, and I'll do tell anyone should do this. I'm so proud of myself for doing this one, actually. I went to a wee tiny cheap Airbnb in the middle of nowhere, Accord or something, or Accord. I brought like some books I always want to read because I've got kids, it's hard to get a chance to read. And I brought some notepaper, some nice notepaper and a nice pen and a list.
Yeah.
And a list of all the people that I had wronged and all the people who had wronged me. I was like, right, I'm gonna just start this because these people are in my head all the time. The guilt, the shame, the anger, the fury. It's just there and I need to just out demons, you know? And the first day I didn't fucking do it. And then the second day I was like, right, well, I better fucking do it now. And I was watching the blue-eyed samurai kind of thing. Great, all of it. And it's funny, and all the art I was reading and listening to podcasts, it was all, they were all kind of touching on things of like fighting your demon. That episode was the one where she goes into the giant house and she's also kind of like dealing with who she is as a person. And I was like, well, what's going on? The universe, like, just saying, like, fucking do it. And I started writing down a few people, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, hey, I'm sorry I did this to you, and this is why, and I'm sorry. And I might never see it. Some of them are dead, so, you know. And there's a biggie. And I won't go too much into it, kind of thing, too much. But there was someone from a very long time ago who did some terrible things to me. And they're dead now. So I never get to have that out. And...
But sometimes just putting it out onto the paper is...
That's what...
It's now left, and it's now in the physical world.
It's out. And you look at pen on paper...
And that's super important. So yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. Once you read it back, like...
I will never read it back, I don't think.
You didn't read it, like...
But just seeing it, just seeing it in pen and paper, like, oh, all that stuff, those voices, those, all that was just... It's just there. And it was like fucking 9 pages kind of thing. And before I did it, I remember, like, okay, the biggie, I'm going to just do this one now because I'm running out of time. And I'm like, ah.
Gotta check out at 4 o'clock. I gotta get out of
here. Oh, yeah. Well, no, it was quad. It was like 10 at night. And I did shit. I need to go for shit. So I went back and I was like, no, I don't need a shit. No, I don't, actually. My body's just trying to get me away from this. And I stood and stared from like 20 feet at this piece of paper like it was a fucking tiger. And I was like, why can't I move? I just can't move. And we're almost staggering over. And like, and I sat my fucking ass down and I held the pen. And then another 5 minutes, just staring at it and the pen. And the pen and the paper. And I couldn't do it. And then I just started writing. And it was, dear, whoever he is. And I miss you. I really miss you. And I really hate you. And that's when it just started. And I think that's the thing with grief of any sort, is the complexity of humans. Like, we're complex. You can love someone and despise them at the same time. And I find that beautiful and scary, you know? And I did that, and I wrote and wrote and cried and hallucinated at one point, which is strange, and spoke to him. And then I could have said, like, this is not the end of this conversation, but it's the beginning, and I feel good. And I went to bed and did not dream that night. I remember really waking up going, I didn't dream. And then drove home and lived my life. And it was the strangest feeling. It was like, for so long, since like 12 years old, I'd just been carrying this rucksack of boulders. Just there the whole time, and I just taken them off for a moment, and suddenly everything came easy.
Yeah,
I got an acting job all of a sudden. Wasn't even fucking looking. I applied for Orange County Arts funding to start a theatre company in Newburgh. I fucking got it. You know, like, fucking crazy. All this shit was just going well. Like, I felt happier in my relationships. I felt stronger. I was able to say no to things, which I could never have said before.
Yeah.
I could sit with anger now. I could tell people, and my brother at some point, you know, failed me once again. And I told him that. I was like, hey, you are letting me down, and I deserve more. You know, which I'd never believed before, I realize now. And my life is still a life, a human life, and has its ups and downs and that. But yeah, I swear to anyone, like, find a way of getting it out. Because when it's in there, it's just, it echoes. And you don't know how many voices there are, and you don't know how much is real and how much is not, and it's too complex to hold in your brain, you know? And that's the power of art, in a way. It's the power of theatre and music and wrestling, even. You know what I mean? Like, you take what's inside and you get it the fuck out, and it makes the world more beautiful. It makes the world, and I realise this about myself, I was asked, like, in your gravestone, what would it say? And everyone's like, pure, oh, you know, maybe an artist, blah, blah, blah. And I just... And it came to me really quickly, and I was like, he left the world a gentler place. And when I said it out loud, I was like, that's right. Mm. Oh my God, that's who I am. I've never known that before. And I often fight that. You know, I want to be like other people. I see their cruelty, and I think, well, I should be crueler, kind of thing. Yeah. I should have that hardness. And I don't have that in me, kind of thing. I'm a big softy, really, you know? And I like that, and I want... that when I die, which is hopefully in thousands and thousands of years, when I choose to, that the world will be a little bit gentler. That'd be nice, I think.
Damn. That's powerful. I don't even remember what the original question was, but it wasn't as great as what you just said. So, damn. Yeah.
Well, that's where... Actually, this segue back into it... that's where, you know, meeting you guys was great. It's like, oh my God, these two people, I think 25 or so, who want to do stuff, who really want to do it and get out there. And at that age, I was high as a kite, kind of thing. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, and terrified and scared and like, I can't do anything. Oh my God, I can't do anything. And like, I mean, you guys and your friends, kind of thing. And just like, I'm just going to do it. And you don't know what to do. We had chats, you remember? And I know you're kind of like, you're like, I don't know what's happening. Like, I want to do this and this, but is this right? Blah, blah, blah. And I remember just like saying to you, like, the fact you're fucking having this conversation is huge.
Yeah.
You're just doing it. And that, your energy, I'm the vampire feeding off of you.
You're
isn't
the
that beautiful?
Gay vampire feeding off of us. It all makes
That's
sense.
That's it. Oh my
God. Oh my God, period. Yes. Well, I mean, yeah, I would definitely say recently for me, and I 100% credit the theater group, the classes with Hampton, the classes with Elizabeth, just hanging out with everybody and just getting stuff out there, whether it's this podcast, whether it's the skate tournament or a short film or whatever. It is like I'm in the practice of always doing something feels mentally rewarding because it's like you said, it's like I'm getting it out.
Yeah.
It's like something that Hampton told me and something that the book To Bring It Back talks about. It's like you've given your brain a very impossible task of like trying to rationalize everything around you to make you understand it, make you feel comfortable about it. The world doesn't work like that.
No.
So attach that on with also now your insecurities, your fears, your anxieties, right? So you got that mixed in with trying to rationalize everything around you. And then you have your aspirations, your dreams, and your ideas, and your creative side. Put that in there, too. That's a very heavy fucking load.
Yeah, I like
so
that.
So if you could spend the time sifting through everything and not worrying about, like, oh, is this going to suck? Or is nobody going to like this? Not worrying about what you look like in the mirror. Because something that makes so much sense to me, and I just noticed this, like, I only ever pay attention to my body when there's something wrong with it. So that's like one less thing that I could just pluck out. And then what's left is like, oh, now my ideas. Now, like, this is the stuff that I can focus on in a positive light. And it's not going to be perfect.
No.
It's not. There's nobody nobody fucking spawns in perfect. Nobody's first podcast recording is going to be a hit. Nobody's first short film is going to fucking knock it out of the park. You just kind of keep doing these. Nobody's first monologue and first audition is going to be a slam dunk.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of just keep doing these things because your heart and soul tells you want to do it.
Yep.
And then you just go for it. And the way you choose to take in things from the outside world can manipulate you into not wanting to do it. It can make you scared. It can make you afraid to look at that piece of paper that's a tiger. It can have you freeze. But like, yo, at the end of the day, like, and like Hampton said, and like we've even said, we literally said this yesterday, it's like we could get killed instantly and everything can be over. Can be done. So why even worry? Why even fucking, we're like, and at the end of the day, like, There are people being fucking killed right now as we speak by other people, by people, by there are people who are locked up for life. People getting killed by drone strikes, bombs, people getting fucking shot. All crazy fucked up things are happening in this world. And like, if you still found that way to get your stuff out there and to do what you want to do when all that's going on, I think you're in the right direction for sure. And like, from Glasgow to London and out of Newburgh, all the drugs and sex dungeons and all the other crazy shit in between.
It was sex dungeons.
It's got you went from, like, let me ask you a question. 24-year-old Damien seeing, what are you, 40 or 41?
40, I'll be 41 next week, this Friday.
You'll be 41 this Friday. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
25-year-old Damien, 41-year-old Damien had a conversation with one another. How do you think that would go down?
Oh, man, that gives me a bit emotional, actually.
Right?
Yeah, it's beautiful. I think it's funny. I thought of this a few months ago, like last year, remember? I was like, oh, yeah, I remember being, there was a drug dealer across from me, this guy from Cyprus in London, in the bed set. He's, you know, drugs, preferably. He's injecting his leg with meth. I remember that moment going like, I wonder how I got here. I remember, you know, last year going like, oh, yeah, that was part of my life. That was part of the tapestry of my life. That is in there as part of my history. And look where I am now. I made some bad decisions in my life, but I also made some fucking amazing ones, whether I realized it or not at the time. You know, like, my life is fucking amazing in so many ways. So many ways. You know, like, God, life's great, isn't it? You know, I say that now because I'm bipolar, so I mean,
see that now.
I'm in
so
a manic moment.
We asked you that 5 minutes from now.
Yesterday I was depressed as fuck kind of thing, but right now it's like, life's great. I love it.
Yeah. That, but hey, that's everybody, bro. Like, bipolar or not, every the tiniest little instance can change the whole dynamic of a day.
Moment by moment. Yeah.
Something too, I learned. I'm like, oh yeah, like my day was going fine until I stubbed my toe and then got mad at that, and then something else happened, and now all of a sudden, three bad things have just ruined 24 hours.
Yeah, fuck that shit.
Like, it's fucking shot.
Yeah, agreed.
So. What's your like dream theater role? You got one?
As an actor?
As an actor.
Any
show, any role.
Oh God.
Any stage.
Any stage. Oh fucking hell. Oh, National Theatre in the UK.
Okay.
In London. And I'm not an acting part of my life right now. I enjoy it kind of thing, but I'm more in the kind of director mode and a producer particularly.
All right, then let me rephrase the question.
I'd love to produce my own work.
Okay.
I would love to do a my own work. I was act in it kind of thing.
Nice.
I've only I performed one play, a short play with myself in it, and that was a lot. But it was also beautiful and terrifying and brave. You know.
All right. Well, just let me know when the tickets go on sale for that.
Yeah. Well, that was in the past, but the one I make in the future. Yeah.
Damien 2. Hell yeah. Yeah. How are we doing on time here? Yeah, I think we're pretty good to close this out, Damien. It's been a pleasure. Seriously, dude.
Thank you so much.
Like, following every episode, I'm like, what did we even talk about? And I don't even remember, but I know when I watch this back, record this, or edit this back, it's going to be like, oh, yeah. Yeah, we're on the money. Best of luck with everything. I look forward to seeing what our acting group, the theater company, whatever you want to call it, does. And just do some shit and just... you know, make life as fun as possible.
I
learned that the other day by myself. I just want to have fun doing what I love. That's it. Fuck money. Fuck fancy clothes. Fancy cars. That shit's stupid. Just have a good fucking time. Things will work out.
Yeah, I like that.
Boom. Anything else, Damien?
No words of wisdom from me, but it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much. It is. It's funny you talk about... like you forget what you've spoken about, but that's the most human thing.
Yeah.
You know, and I think what you're doing with this podcast even is you are recording like humanity in a sense. You're recording that the human connection, you know? Well done. Well done, you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We're not special or unique.
Shut
but
the
in
fuck
a way.
Up. In a way, yeah.
In a way. All right. Well, on that note, thank you everybody that tuned in for the episode. Like and subscribe. Follow us on Instagram, Dying Industry Films. Follow us on TikTok, Dying to Talk Podcast. Instagram, Dying to Talk Podcast. And subscribe to us on YouTube. And also, congratulations to Jeremy Ramos for winning Fight on Flat skateboarding tournament. If you're listening, I will give you your trophy back. I had to put your name on it, and the pieces I hot glued kept falling off, so it's getting a little ridiculous. But stay tuned. We got some new things coming your way to the people out there. And everybody that listened, thank you for supporting us. For Spencer, for Kara, and for Damien, this has been the end of the episode. Now go back to work, you fucking lazy pieces of shit. Cut.
Nice. Lovely.
He wonders why we don't have that baby.